Today on a special Rambling About Cars, the Knight Rider episode you've been waiting for is here. But we aren't just talking about TV series. No. Knight Rider historians are the caretakers of this legacy. They have screen-used Kit Transams, multiple. They have screen-used truck. They found the screen-used trailer. Nobody knows Knight Rider like these guys. Not even the people that were involved in the show, I don't think. And we have 50% of them here with us today. If you're a Knight Rider fan, you will learn something today. If you're not a Knight Rider fan, listen, because you will be when we're done. So without further ado, you know what time it is. It's podcast time. I'm Christopher Smith, and Mr. Chris Bruce across the way, you have the honor of introducing our very special guest.
I sure do. This is AJ Palmgren from Knight Rider Historians. He is half of that team. Joe Hull, is that the correct way to pronounce his last name?
Huth.
I apologize. Joe Huth is the other member of that team. And yeah, he is here to talk about Knight Rider. As Smith was saying, they own a bunch of screen used kits. They own the semi truck that was on the show. They own the cab for the semi truck that was on the show. And AJ, I got to come clean with you real quick, buddy. Before you introduce yourself, I would consider myself not a Knight Rider neophyte. I have definitely seen the show, in syndication and stuff like that. I have not seen every episode, but I did some research on this show, and I have a few questions about the things that happen later on, some of the spinoffs that I hope we get to later on. But without further ado, AJ Palmgren, introduce yourself. Tell us about yourself.
Chris and Christopher, thank you so much. It's an honor for me to be here on your Motor One podcast, your Motor One presentation, and all the things that you call it. Yes, I am AJ Palmgren, and I am a self-proclaimed Knight Rider historian, one of two in the world at this point. I don't think anyone else has seriously joined our bandwagon just yet, but you never know what's going to happen.
If you're hiring, let me know, because
hiring implies that there's pay, and that
can I just drive the car?
Very incorrect.
That, driving the car would be fine. That's all I need.
Okay. All right. Well, we can arrange a little spin around the block, right? That can be arranged.
So, I mean, just to give some context to everybody listening out there, and I'll take that as a little segue to do the necessary plug. Motor One Podcast on YouTube. You can see what we're talking about. We're on Apple, Google, Spotify, all the good stuff. Just to make sure everybody understands, I mean, the investigative powers that you and Joe have, this is going to sound maybe a little silly. You could find anybody's remote control lost in a sofa like 30 years ago. The investigative, that's a little silly, but I mean, you track down the original screen used truck, like 30 plus years after the fact, the original screen used trailer, the trailer towed by the truck. It's just phenomenal, all the work that you've done. And correct me if I'm wrong, but you're also called upon from time to time to verify whether or not certain things were actually used on the Knight Rider TV series.
Yes. And we try to avoid being called upon to doing that because we like to make sure that we know where everything is. And at this point, I'm pretty sure, if it survives, we're pretty confident we know about it. Mm-hmm. There's every once in a while things pop up and it's a very special day when they do. But we like to stay on top of all of this. So, yeah, it's really true. Thank you for that. That remote and a sofa lost 30 years ago. Only if the remote was used in Knight Rider, then we might find it.
Well, so, guys, I want to do one thing. So I know our YouTube analytics. Trust me, I looked at it. Most of our listeners are in their 30s, their 40s, their 50s. But we have some younger listeners. They are the minority, but they definitely listen to the show. And so they might not have heard of Knight Rider. So just real quick, I want to give them the very basic idea of the show. It ran from 1982 to 1986. It starred David Hasselhoff, Don't Hassle the Hoff is kind of his modern catchphrase. He played Michael Knight. And he drove a car named Kit, K-I-T-T. It was a Pontiac Trans Am that had an I guess the it was like the Alexa of its day. I can't. Is that the best way to say
not,
it? I guess
not bad, not bad. Yeah. So it's got to be the cross between an Alexa and a self-driving car, which most people associate with the Tesla. So sure. Yeah, you're exactly correct. And I'm going to quiz you guys. What does KITT stand for? KITT. What is that?
I know it, Bruce. I'll give you a shot.
I can't do it, man. Night Industries something something.
Oh, 2000.
So you got it.
Oh, it's, okay.
The Night Industries 2000.
Okay.
Bruce, I'll give you another quiz here because Carr was Kit's nemesis.
Oh,
what
yeah.
does Carr stand for? K-A-R-R.
Night. Automated.
Dang, he's good.
Roving.
Yes!
No, but what's the other R?
All right, I'll
I don't know.
I got.
I came up with this off the top of my head.
I am the Night Automated Roving Robot. Car.
Roving robots. Okay. Night Automated Roving. Bruce, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have put you on the spot.
Car of the future.
Like I said, I watched the show in syndication. So I was born November 7th, 1985. So I was.
Evil.
This
car.
Was not a show I saw evil when car. It was new.
Not just the windshield wipers of that car was evil. The whole car was evil. And you know, I'll call on either of you to give me where that reference is from.
Ooh,
it's a reference in an episode of Futurama where they refer to Kit's windshield wipers as.
Oh, okay.
Look that one up.
I didn't catch much of Futurama.
That's all right.
For the
younger,
there you go. There you go.
That really likes those interesting genres.
Well, I'm a little
somebody's
bit older
got,
than
somebody's got to look that up and put that in the comments, right?
There we go.
But AJ, now I have to ask you.
Yes.
How did you get into Knight Rider? Like, yes. What's the genesis of you becoming one of the Knight Rider historians? Why this show?
All I can tell you is the same way I've answered that question to every single person I've ever talked to who actually worked on Knight Rider. The way I start out by starting 20 years ago, we started interviewing people who worked in the show. And when I got on the phone with them, I would say, listen, before we get started, I just want to say thank you for creating. I said this to Glenn Larson, the creator, this. I said, Glenn, thank you for creating Knight Rider. That show had captivated my imagination as a 10-year-old like nothing ever had before, and quite frankly, since. Even though we have, you know, and of course, this was 20 years ago when I'm saying this, but today we can say, even though we have technology that kind of, you know, certainly is, talking cars and certainly self-driving cars. I wouldn't say that they talk quite as intelligently as William Daniels did as Kit from Knight Rider, but... they talk and they certainly drive themselves, albeit they seem to need a driver in the driver's seat, but that's another story entirely. Yeah. Anyway, I digress. That's why it just captivated my imagination. And for some strange reason, I haven't been able to let it go. I tried and it came back to me. You know, I tried to put it in a box when I was, in my late teens. And it just kept coming back until finally I was, in my mid to late 20s. What year was this? It was 99. And It just kept coming up, and I said, "Listen, I was talking with a friend of mine who lived with me at the time, and we were talking about of all things, don't hold this against me. Team Knight Rider had just
I remember that.
It was fairly recent as a very late night cable syndication, and the year was 1990. It was 98, 99. I think it was very early 99, either that or very late 98." And it was winter. I remember that. And we started talking about that. We started talking about the original Knight Rider show. And, you know, we're in my house. So I said, there's something I need to show you. So I went up in my attic and I got the box that I had shoved all this stuff in, that I had collected and notes that I had made and documents that I had put together, some written myself, some from TV Guide, other from newspapers, all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And this included tapes. Yes, tapes, audio tapes of the episode, video tapes of the episode. I shoved all of this stuff in a box. I pulled that box out of the attic and I opened it up and I started to go through it with my friend here in my house late one night talking about this stuff. And I remember looking at this stuff thinking, man, I was absolutely crazy. This is way over the top. This no normal human being would ever do something like this. And my second thought was, and it's so cool. Like, this is awesome. And so from that point, I'm like, yeah, that's it. Okay. This is going to follow me for the rest of my adult life. And I kind of knew, like, this would just kind of take over. And I had to, I remember thinking about this for a couple of weeks, because I remember how I was as a kid. Just really, a friend of mine recently said it was, in modern terminology, called it weaponized OCD.
Yes. I love that.
Well, I did too. I said, I'm going to use that. So there you go. Weaponized OCD. That's weaponized. What it was. We wouldn't have called it that back then, but that's what it was. And when I remember how I was like as a kid. So when I opened this box up again, and it was like Pandora's box. Can I handle where I know this is going to take me now that I'm, you know, an adult in my, you know, in my early to mid 20s? Can I handle it? And I think I was 26 when I pulled the box out. I said, I know where this is. I remember how I was. Can I handle it? And it took me a couple of days. I really thought about it. I said, yeah, I think I have to. I really do. So here I am, Knight Rider historian, brought Joe along with me. Not too long after that, you know, for a while I was kind of dragging him along, because he never had the he didn't really think to call us the Knight Rider historians. That was kind of my idea. That's another story in and of itself. How much time do we have? I could talk for hours.
About an hour and a half.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we'll talk for an hour and a half.
I'm sure we'll have no problem filling that.
We got the whole episode to go. So let's segue on that a little bit.
The book that was in that box, a scrapbook that I put together, it's actually behind me. I wish I could say it was actually here in the semi set.
Right.
But of course, yeah. You know,
if you're listening,
are savvy that no, this is not real. That's the semi burning a hole in my shirt right here. As we're gonna, that's gonna drive some people nuts the whole episode. Don't you know that?
Well, if you're listening like on Spotify, if you're not over to our YouTube channel, Motor One Podcast, AJ has the best possible background. He is in the Knight Rider trailer.
It's true. First season.
The lights, first season. Yep, he's got the Knight Rider Historians t-shirt on, which, by the way, you can go buy Knight Rider Historians merch, right, AJ?
That's absolutely correct. At the bottom of in the description of every single one of our videos on the Knight Rider Historians official YouTube channel, just go into the description, and unless we forgot to put it there, which doesn't usually happen, you know, there's the standard merchandise banner there where you can buy these t-shirts and a whole lot more. And takes a while for them to show up, but they're really cool. That's where I got this. That I had to order it myself from our own merchandise.
Nice. Well, there will be a link in our YouTube description as well as the article that goes up on motorone.com every Friday. I'm getting ahead of myself in the plugs. AJ, I mean, tell us a little bit about meeting Joe, because I talked to Joe probably like maybe a year and a half ago, when I wrote up an article. I think that was shortly after you had found the GMC General, the screen used truck.
Yes, we got on a lot of people's radar then. Thank you.
Yes. No. When I saw that, I was like, no way. How are they going to find the truck?
Yeah. There you go. Very nice.
Yep, so I mean, tell us a little bit about you and Joe getting together and getting this thing going.
Yeah, and this is a web page. We archive this web page, of course. Every publicity we got, I made sure to save it, because sometimes those things disappear, they change.
Yes, they do.
I recognize that. We archive.
I'm keeping this one up, man. I don't care what I have to do.
Good, you should. All right, I'm sorry. What was the question? I lost.
Real quick. I'm gonna play the fax guy during this show, and Smith, you can be the color guy. I just want to throw out, so Glenn Larson was the guy who created Knight Rider, and Glenn Larson clearly had an eye for cool car shows, because he was also the creator of Magnum PI, and not a car show, but kind of a sci-fi show. He was also one of the original creators of Battlestar Galactica.
That was his baby.
This is a guy who just was all around TV in the 70s and 80s. But we're talking about the truck. Let's truck time.
we're jumping way ahead. You know, this truck is a culmination of not only, you know, obsessive childhood and teenage years from, you know, Joe and I personally before we knew each other, but also that weaponized OCD over our combined efforts for well over 20 years. So this didn't just happen. right? This is something where you remember just a few minutes ago, I said, if I open Pandora's box, my old Knight Rider box from, I pulled down from the attic, it's going to change my life. And, you know, it'll change my direction completely. And I was okay with that. And it did, but that's what it took, right? It mm-hmm. took an unbelievable amount of personal time. And quite frankly, I have no regrets. I wouldn't think of it any other way.
There's no regrets here. Oh. This is a source of pride.
It is.
I mean,
what's that process like? Where do you start? You say, okay.
Give us a quick run through on the process.
If you guys, you're probably, as a result of this podcast, what I'm probably going to do is I'm probably going to accelerate the editing of a video that I created for the only live Knight Rider show that happened this year, Southern Knights Atlanta, mm-hmm. in July. That's a Knight Rider show that's happened. It's organized by a friend of ours, Mark Pewitt, every single year for the last 12 years, except for the last two in the pandemic. But anyway, I gave an hour and a half presentation on answering that exact question. And so what I'd love to see is I get that edited in time for you guys to do this podcast. And then we can just do the info card thing. We're right here. I'm not sure whether I'm going to be mirrored or not. So right here should be that info card pops up if you guys are willing to do that. And you'll actually be able to see 90 minutes of me talking about how that was possible and what it took. But of course I can either give you the spoiler highlights or we can leave it at that.
Ooh. Give me the 1 minute version.
I don't think I can, but I'll give it my best shot. Okay. So we have long learned, probably 12, 13 years ago now, we learned that the organization that procured a lot of TV and movie cars, including including the Trans Ams and Firebirds used as kit for Knight Rider, they procured all of those vehicles for TV and movies. And the company is called the Vista Group. Now,
oh, I've heard of them. Okay.
Okay. Maybe through us. We don't know. Have you heard of them through another way? I'm very curious because they're extremely they're not well known.
Okay. I swear I've heard of that group. Maybe okay. I'm wrong.
Good. I hope it's through
maybe us. I'm thinking of Boyd of Vista, which is a completely separate organization.
I think it was through the, but I mean, please continue because I know the story. It's fascinating.
So once we realized who they were through association of other people who worked on the show, we were fortunate enough to meet with the founder and the vice president, two gentlemen, in person when both of them were still alive. And they were very happy to meet with us, very, very friendly, very gracious. And it turns out that they, of course, one of the first questions that we're going to ask them as soon as we get to know them well enough to dare ask questions is, did you document all the cars that you placed in the show? Do you have the VINs, right? We want the VINs, man.
Sure.
If nothing else, we want the VINs because that's how you identify exactly what car right. it is. And by this time, we were well on the road to finding evidence upon evidence upon evidence for what cars were used in the show and what cars weren't. And even the cars that came close and were mistaken for used in the show. That's a whole nother story. So of course, this is like, if we want one thing from all of the time that we spent, you know, with the Vista Group, other than just, you know, fantastic friendship, which was a wonderful side product of that whole endeavor. We want the VINs of these cars. And so they said, well, those paper records were thrown out long ago. Of course they were, right? We're meeting with them in 2011, 2012. So they had ditched that stuff 10, 15 years earlier because there was no need for them to keep it. They never imagined that somebody as crazy as the Knight Rider historians would right. come around wanting that information, right? So they said, but we have this old computer. And we're pretty sure that the VINs of all of the cars that we had back then would have to be there. And so I spent, that's the setup for this 90-minute talk that I gave. And I gave in this 90-minute talk, I go through the lengths that we had to go through in order to reverse engineer this computer because it was completely unknown. It was a forgotten machine, if you will.
Wait, well, so it's funny you should mention that. I don't own any, but I'm a bit of a vintage computer fan. So what is it? You can go ahead and tell us.
Oh, well, but see, there were multiple computers involved. And that's part of the talk. You would not have heard of it. The first computer we dealt with is called the Convergent Technologies Mighty Frame. I know you haven't heard of the Mighty Frame.
No
one has. It's a forgotten machine, which is why a sister YouTube channel that I am building is called Forgotten Machines, because it's actually about some of the more technical things about this.
Gotcha.
I have a t-shirt for that too. I could just go grab that. Anyway, so a long story short, it took us years to reverse engineer this computer. And it wasn't just this computer. Then we found another computer we had to reverse engineer. It took us years to reverse engineer that, because that was even more forgotten than the first one. Ugh. And we were just sure that if those VINs existed, they were going to be on that other computer. Mm-hmm. And they weren't. Ooh. Spoiler alert, they weren't there. But I'll tell you what we did find. That right there. We found that.
You're pointing to the GMC General, assuming that
the way it's laid out here.
Nope, you're doing it right. Yeah,
you got it right.
It's we got it, man. That thing, I'd reach into the picture, but it won't let me do it. We found that thing right there.
And that's a
1984 GMC General.
And 84 so GMC General.
That is correct. And so for the details of that, you'll need to watch the video that these guys have very kindly given an info card to at the top of your screen, either now or just a moment ago, actually telling you the entire boring and exciting details about that long, I'm going to say nearly decade long journey.
The diligence in finding this information.
There's your weaponized OCD. Oh boy.
I mean, I find that absolutely extraordinary, and not just because I'm a Knight Rider fan. Any sort of dedication like that is inspiring.
Thank you.
And I know people just into cars in general that have spent years and decades like trying to track down their first car. Anytime you find that kind of diligence, it's inspiring. And I think it speaks to Knight Rider. There's you and there's Joe, but the fact that your channel, Knight Rider Historians, how many subscribers do you have now on YouTube?
Oh gosh, are we at 85,000 or pushing 90,000 now? So as YouTubers go, we're kind of small.
Okay, you're right. Sorry, I was looking at the video I was looking at was 1.5 million, but you're right. The number of followers, 85,600.
I mean, YouTube speak, it could be small. I don't think so. I think that's a testament to how many fans there are out there are following along with what you're doing. And I know we're kind of jumping around a little bit here. Before I jump around further, let's talk about how you and Joe got together and turn this into something that's between the two of you. You have multiple screen used kits. You found the GMC General earlier this year. What I really want to talk about later, you found the screen used trailer. Mm. Oh, yeah. But I mean, just tell us a little bit about how you and Joe met and how this went from just weaponized OCD in your mind to this fantastic journey that you're on now.
Okay. Well, we can do that. So what do you guys remember of the internet from 22 years ago, 23 years ago? Anything where either of you, how
beep, 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 beep.
What?
That's
maybe
it,
like
Bush.
97, 98.
Right.
I remember finding the dial-up, the best dial-up numbers. Okay. Switching on my
56K. I remember web forums. That's where I was. Like,
all right, very good. For web forums, yeah. They're also called bulletin boards.
Yep. Yeah. Usenet.
PBS.
Yeah.
Exactly. So PBS, of course, those started before the internet, when you actually had to connect to services individually mm-hmm. with your modem, and you had to be kind of high end then.
I met my wife on one.
Congratulations!
That was a
college intranet in 1995. But
I hope
that's for another time.
You should do a personal podcast just on that. But anyway, yes.
Oh, it's such a great story. Anyways.
Back then, as soon as I had
pulled this Pandora's box of Knight Rider goodies that I had culled from my own childhood out of the attic. The very next day, I went to work, and at this point, it's 19. I'm going to say it's like winter of 98. Like, let's just say it's December of 98 or January of 99, somewhere in there. I didn't even have internet access at my house yet. So my only internet access was, you know, at work, right? I worked in IT at the time. So I've definitely had internet access at the office. So totally. First thing I did when I was pretty sure no one was looking over my shoulder, which didn't usually happen then, is I'm gonna search for Knight Rider. Now, we didn't even have Google then, right? This is pre-Google. No. This is like search engine stuff, right? Yahoo, right. But this before is... that, some other ones I can't even remember right now.
Alta Vista? Do you remember
that, Alta Vista? Sure, that kind of stuff. So, of course, I search for Knight Rider, and I find all kinds of fan stuff and replicas. And, like, I came up with this epiphany. It was immediate. I think it contributed to the decision of am I really going to embrace what's in this box? It's going to completely change my future. I think it was when I saw what was on the internet in late 98, early 89 on Knight Rider, replicas. All kinds of people talking about it on web forums and bulletin boards and mm-hmm. pictures of all kinds of stuff and fan pages and all this stuff. I said to myself, maybe I'm not quite that crazy. Now, fast forward 20 years. Yeah, I am. I am that crazy. Right?
No.
No, that's the thing. But the reason anyway, I'm doing this show
is the right
now
kind of crazy.
Exactly. That's so you were 10, 15 years older than me at the time, but I got into cars exactly the same way that I started researching just bizarre. Like I would go onto like weird Japanese car sites and find stuff. And that's why I am the way I am now. So no, you're not weird at all.
Thank you. I guess we'll go with that. Or we're both weird and we're just going with it.
Exactly. That's the way to go. Yeah.
So, after, of course, I engaged and started talking and reading, to people all on these internet bulletin boards. And it didn't take more than a couple of months to figure out who there really knew what they were talking about and who there didn't. And then who there pretended that they did and didn't. And in that period of time, one person that really stood out to me is this guy by the name of Joe Who. I'm like, who is this guy? You know, he's got, and eBay was new, right? I even discovered eBay. I'm like, oh, I've got this new career. I have more money now than I've had before. And eBay shows up and now I can buy all the toys that I didn't have as a kid.
Exactly.
I either couldn't get my parents to buy them for me or I didn't dare ask because I just knew better. I can buy them all now with my own money. It's great. Anyway, so not only did he seem like he really knew what he was talking about on these Knight Rider bulletin boards and web forums. Also, he had stuff for sale on eBay. He had like a Knight Rider book for sale on eBay. It was a predecessor to the first book that we ended up writing, Knight Rider Legacy. Mm-hmm. But so I was one of his early customers. I think Joe could probably, if he was ready for this, he could just pull the book off the shelf and say, "See, this is this. I did this when I was 16." I think he did too. And that would have been about right because, he's
definitely more ambitious than me at 16. Definitely more ambitious than me at 16.
I doubt that. I doubt that.
16, I was like, yay, I can drive.
That's a good start.
That was pretty good.
When you were 16, wasn't it like 92?
Let's see. No, it was 91.
Okay. I was way off. Way off.
Yeah, way off. Anyway, so it became very apparent that he really, he kind of stood out in the loud crowd there on the bulletin boards about what was really going on. So, of course, I followed through. I chatted with him a few times. I chimed in on some things. I even remember I put out a Knight Rider quiz and I want to find out who really knows their stuff. So I created a few post quizzes, right? Quizzes is like forum posts, and we got a few interesting answers. He always got the right answer. And so that was always very helpful. But at some point in around the year 2000, so just another, year, Joe and some other guy was talking about writing a book. And I remember thinking to myself, I don't know who this other guy is, but I know who Joe is. I have a feeling I need to get involved to make sure these guys do it right. How audacious of me. But that's actually what I thought. I didn't, I mean, you know, I've told this story many times, so he knows that that's what was in my head. But also I thought, not just that, I also thought, how can I miss out on doing this, right? How can I not at least try to become involved? Because that's just amazingly cool. There are no books about Knight Rider other than the one that Joe wrote, and it's just kind of a guide of all kids' features in a spiral-bound notebook, which was amazingly cool and highly accurate, comparatively. And so that's kind of how it started. So I just kind of, you know, I approached Joe and I said, hey, you know, I'd like to help with your book. And they, you know, they said, sure, kid. You know, it, you know, and within a year or two, I find myself on the phone with Glenn Larson and Patricia McPherson and various other people, and we're interviewing them for the book. And those are some fantastic memories. So that would have never happened had I not inserted myself in that process. So, and just as suspected, that other person's long gone, and here we are.
Well, I mean, the team seems just spot on. Let's jump ahead now to present day Knight Rider historians. You have a website, KnightRiderHistorians.com. You have Knight Rider Historians on YouTube, and everybody should go check out the site and the YouTube channel. The YouTube channel, you guys have content going up. I mean, like in some cases, I've seen multiple videos a week. Multiple videos a week,
and we plan on this old show. And the amount of stuff that we have to share is limited only by our ability to edit it. That's it. That's our bottleneck, is editing this stuff. At least that's my bottleneck. And you know, Joe shoots all of his new stuff because it's easier to edit. But there is decades of stuff I have that, mm-hmm. that Joe has as well. But there's decades of stuff that if we were edited, we could just crank it out. You know, did you see our recent tribute to the 40th birthday of Knight Rider, or the 40th anniversary, which was literally just weeks ago?
Yep.
It was literally the 40th anniversary, of September, Monday. Yes.
40th anniversary. That video was on there. I love the 1/8 scale kit model. I didn't know that existed. And now, because I'm like 2 weeks away from a 1,200 mile move, and I'm an avid modeler, and I'm crying right now because like one of the first things I do once I get into the new house is I'm getting the subscription going on that 1/8 scale kit model. I've really been enjoying the videos of the screen used trailer.
Yeah.
And we're talking about that. I never, ever thought watching somebody remove screws from an old trailer would be so interesting and fascinating. But here's what I want to make sure everybody out there listening understands. The two of you have devoted years and years and years of your lives finding these vehicles. And usually when you encounter somebody on an adventure like this, you'll see the vehicle at a show and maybe you'll get to talk to them. The two of you are taking all of us fans along for the ride.
Yes,
you're looking. I mean, I was just watching the newest video today where Joe is changing. You know, he's climbing underneath Kit to fix a transmission leak, and it's like, okay, we're just looking at the underside of the screen used Kit, and it's like, I mean, who does that?
Nobody does that exactly.
We're right there along for the ride. And
thank you for saying that. That's kind of why we do it, because we wanted to preserve our own childhood, at least the best parts of it like that. And, you know, we were really kind of touched because, you know, just for the 40th anniversary of Knight Rider, we released that video, and it just so happens to coincide with our appearance at RetroCon at the Greater Philadelphia Convention Center, which was just that weekend, right? Mm-hmm. So we were there with one of our original Knight Rider cars. People got to sit in the car for a small fee and have their picture taken, right? Mm-hmm. And I got all of them saying happy birthday to Knight Rider and all that fun stuff. But one of them said something that I found very, very touching, actually. And that was that they really summed up why we have the viewer base that we do. And that is that he basically said, here, freeze Joe here. He's distracting me with his hands moving like this.
Sorry.
I'd let him talk, but you can't hear him.
Right.
No, but he sat in the car and he just looked at us and he said, thank you. He kind of teared up just a little bit and he said, thank you for preserving my childhood. He's sitting in, not a replica, which is cool enough, right? Replicas are awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I love replicas. But he's sitting in a car that was actually on the screen. Not one like it, but the car that was on the screen when he's watching it as a kid. There, that was a level of special to him that I guess no one else could touch. And mm-hmm. that meant a lot to us. As a matter of fact, if you want, I have, he said that to us on camera. I'll give you that clip if you want to cue it in. I'm not sure if you like you do that kind of stuff or not, but I'll just throw that out there.
I don't think I can cue it in right now, maybe in our editing.
No, in your editing, that's what I meant.
Yeah. Let me talk to my editor and we'll see if we can do that. But yeah, cool. That would be very, yeah. very cool.
That might be something to get into post. I mean, that's he's absolutely right. I did grow up with Knight Rider. I enjoyed watching it as a kid. The car was always fascinating. And now that I'm older, being able to see the enthusiasm with others, with you and with Joe. And that's why I was saying, who would have thought that watching somebody take screws out of an old semi-trailer would be fascinating. But the context is, this is the trailer that was used on the show.
Yeah.
That was then repurposed for other uses later. It lived a completely different life after the show.
Multiple different lives.
What is he going to find under that panel that he's taking off? Are we going to find skid marks from Kit under the trailer? Are we going to find other clues that just further confirm? Yeah, this is the real deal.
Yeah.
That exactly. I mean, it's a special experience. It's a restoration experience, but it's a restoration experience unlike any other, because it's something that so many people identified with, not just younger people, but older people as well. I mean, my father is in his 90s and he enjoyed Knight Rider, right? Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily an age thing. So, I find that absolutely wonderful that we're going along with the ride. And I'm kind of straying here a little bit.
Fine.
The current modern iteration of Knight Rider historians, what all do you and AJ or you and Joe, sorry, have? how many cars?
I lost track.
How many cars? Well, of course, you have the truck and the trailer. How many original cars?
So, all right. So let's answer that question a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
As far as all of our combined weaponized OCD research has confirmed, that five of the cars used in the show have survived.
Mm-hmm.
We, of course, have two of those five. I have personally inspected the other three because, you know, I made a personal decision that I can't really call myself a true Knight Rider historian to the level that I want to be unless I physically see them. I knew that they were original for a lot of different reasons, right? Just mm-hmm. from pictures and things. But I thought, I need to see them. I need to see the stuff on those cars that nobody else knows is there and nobody else knows how to look for. So I've done that, right? I've seen them all and I've had to travel the world to do it. So, and, you know, while we don't have those other three cars, we know where they are for the most part. Every once in a while, one disappears, but we have pieces from those cars that have been lost along the way. We've found them floating around on eBay or somewhere else and mm-hmm. brought them to us. There's plenty of other cars. There's tour cars that were used to promote the show
mm-hmm.
back when the show was actually on the air on NBC. There was one guy by the name of Carl Casper that had that had a contract with Universal Studios through his own company called Hollywood Productions. And he had a contract and it was basically his contractual obligation to mm-hmm. take Kit from Knight Rider and put him at car shows. Now, the car that they used, that wasn't used in the show. It couldn't have been. It's really hard for a car to be in two places at the same time. They need all the cars for filming back, right. You know, at Universal Studios. They need them all. And, you know, and they need them all to do what they need them to do when they need them to do them, because otherwise, you know, Teamsters are sitting around and they got to pay the bill for shooting and no car. So obviously for logistics purposes, the cars that were at all those car shows, it was a completely different car. None of them were ever used in the show. They couldn't have been logistically, but there's at least six of those. Four of those survive. We even have pieces of some of those. I've seen all of those cars, right? We even feature a few of them on our channel. One of them's in New Zealand. A guy who has done a fantastic job, trained by us, at least initially, and then he figured out enough on his own because he's a car guy.
Nice.
How to restore that back to its original condition for tour use has done so, and we've featured him on our channel a number of times. It's been a while. We should bring back some of his stuff again in the not so distant future. But you know, stuff like that, and that's just the cars, right? There's also cars that were shipped over to Europe. In addition to some of those tour cars that were shipped over to Europe, there's other cars that were shipped over to Europe that were used exclusively for David Hasselhoff's Night Rocker tour in Austria in 1987 and 88.
Okay, right? That's news to me.
I never even heard about that.
That's awesome. Gotta stop. Yeah. This is now the show. Okay. Let's talk about Night Rocker, apparently. I got to know more about this.
Oh, you actually want to hear about it. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
So maybe to help this, we should, you know, can I share a screen?
I think if you put it on the right hand side in private chat, I can share it for you since Smith and I are admins.
Yeah.
So if you go on the right hand side in private chat there, throw the link in there and then I will throw it up.
Copy. Yeah,
we can share this because I've never heard about this.
This is completely news to me, and I love hearing about this.
Okay. All right. So let's see if I can find this chat here. I have mute style cam settings present leaves.
Oh, no. On the right hand side,
oh, yeah, it's
the right there. Comments, banners, brand, right. Private chat. Right. There you go.
Yep, find I see that.
It. There we go.
We'll find
I'm
it.
Pulling
there's
it up
gotta,
right
there's
now.
There's got to be a bigger one. But that so in And after Knight Rider was canceled, David, you know, is looking to further
folks,
his career.
You're going to love Baywatch, this.
And he has always wanted to be, you know, a professional singer. And, you know, he'd even sung in Knight Rider episodes. As a matter of fact, songs on this album are in the Knight Rider episode, Let It Be Me, the second season episode that he did with his then wife, Catherine Hicklin. Stevie Marks,
I think I'm sorry, AJ. I'm just laughing at this.
I think I remember
cover.
That episode. I think I remember that episode.
Yeah. Let it be
but
me.
I don't remember Night Rider
second season. So
that is the Hoff standing on a black brand van.
I'll give you too much detail about this. That is the Hoff standing on not any of the cars that was used in Night Rider. That's actually a 1983 Recaro Trans Am. Mm-hmm. It was one of Catherine, his wife. It was one of two personal cars that Pontiac gave to them, and then they did a promotional shoot for Pontiac that ended up on the cover, I think, of People magazine, or maybe it wasn't the cover, maybe it was like a two page article spread with a big picture, and they're both leaning on the hoods, kissing each other. It's kind of a nice little thing. But anyway, that's one of those cars, all accounts, including Catherine herself talking to her about this, say that is actually her. In the passenger seat, you see that.
Oh, you can kind of see it here. I'm going to zoom in. It's going to be a bit pixelated. I'm sorry,
folks.
Yeah,
it's going to be a lot pixelated.
Yeah, but you can kind of see a form there.
Yeah, that's her. That's Catherine Hicklin. That's Kat. The real life Stevie Mason.
I didn't realize they were married at that point. Yes, but then again, I was a kid. Yes. I was thinking about, oh, this guy is cool. And the car is awesome. So
yes, they were dating.
So, folks, I told you, if you're a Knight Rider fan, you're gonna learn something today.
Yeah,
I learned something today, man.
So after Knight Rider was canceled, that album was floating out there. It didn't get much traction in the United States, but evidently it really took off, believe it or not, in Austria. And there's an interview of there's an early I think there's a mid 80s. I guess it would be a mid to late 80s interview of David Hasselhoff on, I can't remember the show, but it shouldn't be too hard for you guys to find and cue it in, of David actually saying that a fan came up to him and says to him, your record is number one in Austria. And his reply on the interview was, great, where's Austria? next, 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 you know, I wouldn't say next thing we know, but somehow one thing led to another, and there was a gentleman who produced, for lack of a better term, productions and rock concerts and things like that in Austria by the name of Herbert Fechter, somebody that I've since gotten to know. And he actually put together a rock concert tour in Austria and surrounding European countries for Night Rocker in 1986 and 87. And I think it went even into a little 1988. And so there were cars that were created specifically for that tour that ended up going over there. He still has one of them, and the other one still survives. And I know exactly where that is. It's actually being restored right now. And we trained the person doing that, and they're giving us plenty of footage on that. But anyway, never used in the show. It's ancillary. It's one of those that are prime fodder for being confused to being used in the show, but still very special because it's part of this whole Knight Rider universe legacy thing.
It's just part of the persona.
Exactly. Right?
It's part of the bigger picture.
All of these things, particularly as it relates to cars, of course, we really follow. One of the other cool things is something we call the Hoff nose. So let's see if I can come up with some pictures of this here. After the show was canceled, and we have to talk about this eventually. And a lot of the cars, most of the cars used in the series that still survived, were crushed under a wrecking ball. We won't go any further with that than that. It happened. A nose was taken off of one of the cars that was crushed, and it was given to David. Right, David Hasselhoff. Had the nose from one of the original cars, and he had it mounted in his living room.
Like you do.
I would totally do that.
Right? And why wouldn't he, right?
Exactly, yeah. If I was in Knight Rider, I would do the same thing.
Let's see if I can find some pictures. Ah, yes, here we go. So I'm going to do a share here. Let's make sure that you can see this.
Just throw it in private chat again, and I'll throw it up.
Yeah, here we go. So he had this thing mounted in his living room. Throw that up there. And that thing came across the auction block of Julian's auctions in, I think, 2014. And we were going to be.
Are you sure this is the right image? Because this image is crazy. What you just sent me, I don't even.
Is it the Hoff in like a den with fur? Did I give you the?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, that's the one.
What?
All right. So this is post Knight Rider. Look what's behind him.
Yeah, right there.
It's right there. Yeah,
it's below the TV.
Yeah. Exactly. So
it's below the TV.
So this thing came up for auction in 2014. We made sure that we, you know, worked with anyone we possibly could to make sure we won the bid on it. We did. I actually showed up personally to Julian's auctions to bid on that. There's a Los Angeles Times article written up about me at that auction. Because I was, you know, the most exciting, interesting person there, evidently, on that particular day of bidding. Just because, you know, well, you see how I am now. I'm just kind of a little bit unhinged and a little bit crazy and definitely animated. So that's the way I was there in person. And a guy looking to do a story for the Los Angeles Times on that auction said, you're my target. We're going to write an article on you. So, yeah, there it is.
Yep.
There it is. So that's from one of the original cars that's since been destroyed. And so that's absolutely part of our collection. And, you know, we've been inside and out of that. And we've done a few Knight Rider Historians videos about it on our channel. I think it's prime time for us to maybe, you know, revamp some of those as well, because that was a long time ago, right? That our subscriber base was much smaller then. So a lot of our new viewers probably don't even know that we have that, because right now we're focusing on, you know, appropriately so, the latest thing, which is the restoration of the semi truck and trailer.
Right.
Of course. Right.
Right. Well, let's use that as a little bit of a segue to talk some about the trailer, because you found it earlier this year, correct?
Yes.
Tell us, there are so many videos on Knight Rider Historian's channel on YouTube. You definitely want to go and watch some of these.
Right.
Can you give us just a little bit of an overview on
how the hell
you found this trailer?
It actually is one specific video that we produced. So let's see if we could find it right now, because let's see.
I'm working on it. I'm looking for it now.
So it's actually the video where we are sharing all we know about the trailer and asking our fans and the universe for help finding it. And if you can believe it, it works. In a nutshell, it actually worked. Let's see. I'm on the wrong account here. That's why I can't find it.
Well, wait, is it this one? I'm going to throw up a video here for you, AJ. Tell me if I picked the right one, and if I didn't, you can tell me I'm wrong.
I'm sure you're not wrong.
I could very easily be wrong, man. Is it the one here with the trailer? Sorry, we've gotten copyright strikes before. No, so
because in that video, we already have it.
Okay.
All right. It's worth finding. So give me just a moment. It won't take me long.
Okay. Well, I remember it was because you guys did it. I mean, you produced it wonderfully. It wasn't just like a handheld. Oh, hey, here's the trailer. I mean, it's like there was drama. There was the story.
Well, right. I've looked at the videos on their channel. None of them are like that. They all have drama. They all have story. There's a dramatic arc to all of them from what I've seen. So I wouldn't expect anything different for this one.
Thank you.
No, it's totally true. I'm not blowing smoke. No, honestly, you're true.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
All right, so here it is. It's this one right here. Oh. All right, thank you very much. Commercials. Let's go back to
throw
you
it
guys.
In private chat for me, and I will throw.
There we go.
There we go.
That's the one.
Okie doke.
That's the one. So the thumbnail on that one, you know, once you start playing a video on YouTube, I'm always a little bit annoyed because you can't actually see the thumbnail once you start playing it. You can only see the thumbnail like real small. It really annoys me. But anyway, we digress. So it's this video right here where Joe actually talks about where is it? Where is the original semi? And so we share excruciating detail as we always do.
Yeah, I'm gonna skip forward here. Yeah. You can see like these are the documents you guys went through and the model and all that stuff.
Go back to that. Go back to that plate there. Keep going back.
Right.
There. Dorsey. See that?
Dorsey trailer.
Right. So we're doing all kinds of documentation. This, of course, is not the tag from the original trailer, but we actually show one. We found other Dorsey trailers. We know from screenshots that the tag looked just like this, so we know the position on the tag where the VIN is. We go to excruciatingly detail, and so this was a situation where we had already found the semi-tractor through our own complete internal weaponized OCD, right? our research spanning well over a decade and the diligence to do that. So this was, we now put it out there to the fans and to the universe. Go find this for us, and if you couldn't have made this up. If you put this in a movie script, no one would believe it's true, right? It was just like, no, that's too far fetched. If this isn't a testament to truth being stranger than fiction, I don't know what is, because within a week within two weeks of that video being posted on our channel. Someone who's never seen our videos before, but who owns a Dorsey trailer, saw it in his YouTube feed as a suggestion. So this is one of those situations where
a suggestion.
I mean, if ever there's a lot of things to dislike about the YouTube algorithms, but this is one thing where the YouTube algorithm, I don't know how it kind of creeps you out a little bit, how it makes a suggestion to him. And evidently our thumbnail and description video title was just enough to get him to say, well, I have a Dorsey trailer. Let's watch this. And it was his.
That's incredible.
All he had to do was watch the whole thing. Look at our excruciating detail, go outside, look at his and say, well, mine has that. So of course he replies to us. He emails us with pictures. And it was like, unbelievable. Like, it just showed up in our inbox, right? We put this out there and it just showed up in our inbox. That's
just so
was.
Cool.
Just like an email a week or so after posting the video.
Right. And of course, we put the email. I mean, you could try to talk to us in the comments, but so few get through, right? But we put our email
exactly.
there. And, you know, obviously we get a tremendous amount of unwanted and spam, but it's, that works out fairly well. We've seemed to not miss the important ones, at least that we know of.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, so you got that message. You're looking at the photos. I mean, I feel like unbelievable is an understatement here.
It is an understatement. That is an understatement. Whereas everything we've done up until that point was our own brute force and a lot of luck. But I'm a firm believer that that success is where preparation meets luck. And if you haven't prepared ahead of time, doesn't matter how lucky you are, you're not going to get it. Right. Mm-hmm. So everything we've done before this, have accomplished before this, has been a mixture of those things. This one was pure. The fans did it. The nice. Fans made it happen, believe it or not. So thank you, fans.
That's so cool.
They made it popular enough to show up in the owner's YouTube feed mm-hmm. for just the right moment.
For just the right person, even.
The right moment, the right person at the right time. So you get this email, you go out, you look at the trailer, you confirm.
Yes.
Oh my God, this is it.
This is an interesting segue here, because usually you just a little bit of background on the dynamic between Joe and I. Every other time when it comes, Joe usually sticks around home, right? That's his, mm-hmm. his life circumstances better for that. And my life circumstances better for hit the road on a spur of the moment and let's check this thing out. So mm-hmm. pretty much every single vehicle, everyone actually, that we have researched for Knight Rider, it's always been me who's gone out to look at it. You know, whether we ended up with it later or not, it's always mm-hmm. been me to go out and have first look, always. The trailer is the first time Joe said, I'm going to do this one. I wow. said, go. I've done all the others. Please have at it. So there you go.
And the trailer was, it was out west somewhere, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In west of, I'm not sure if we say exactly where it was in our reveal yeah. video, but it was east of Phoenix, about an hour.
And
I did not see it on site. Joe actually saw it on site. I did not.
And now it's being restored along with the semi truck.
Exactly.
And I know the merch that you're selling. 100% of the proceeds are going for the restoration for the truck and the trailer.
I mean, you know,
thereabouts.
Full disclosure, I wouldn't say 100% of that, because you know there's stuff we do. You know, it covers a number of our expenses, but I will mm-hmm. say with confidence, 100% of our Patreon proceeds and our GoFundMe proceeds, 100% of that goes to everything that we bring you on our YouTube channel, everything, mm-hmm. right? And so the GoFundMe that we have for the semi-restoration and the trailer restoration, those funds are dedicated specifically for that. But our general Patreon supporters, and thank you very much for those of you who are watching. We appreciate you. We couldn't do this the same way we do without you. Thank you.
And if you want to support, check our video or check all the videos on Knight Rider Historians. We'll have links there to support.
Yes.
I support, and I'm super excited. I mean, I haven't even seen this stuff. I am super excited to see the truck and the trailer restored, pulling up to a show with screen use kit coming out of the back. How excited are you? I mean, this is a stupid, typical journalist question. How are you feeling about all of this? How do you feel about it?
It's surreal. Of course, it's kind of unreal. I mean, you know, but you can imagine how awesome it would be. And, you know, you haven't even, by your own admission, you haven't been quite that dedicated of a fan as those of us who are a little bit on the crazier side for this show, right? But
I've got a question about that coming up, but Smith, I would not say Smith is more dedicated fan.
Let's see if I can get this right. We'll go with you there, Chris, but not.
Good job,
not you,
man. There, perfect. Okay. Perfect.
Yep.
I got it. Yeah. I got to get the mirroring right.
Exactly. No, you did it perfect.
I do this in some of my live feeds for my day job. I host boring virtual conferences, and every once in a while I have to point at stuff and get it right. So.
Well, you did exactly right this time. So no, tell me, talk to me, man.
Okay. Well, anyway, so where I was going with that is just imagine how that would feel if you were one of those kids that saw Knight Rider first debut in September 26, 1982, and you were 10 and you're me, it captivated your imagination. Mm-hmm. Well, here's all this stuff. And yet, because we focused on this so much, the truth is, a little bit of it can become a bit overwhelming, right? Because it can just take over. And so for us, for either of us to have any real semblance of normal lives, we can't actually let it take over. So, you know, good living skills and some practical balance become important. So maybe that's too much information, but that's kind of how it feels. So on the one hand, it's awesome. We can't believe this is happening. On the other hand, this is what we do. So exactly. Of course it's happening.
No, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I mean, I can't imagine how overwhelming it can become.
There's a lot of times
just working with all of this.
Well, and so for me, like, here's my confession. Joe will watch Knight Rider on a regular basis for fun in modern day. For me, it's more of a special occasion to do that now. Most of what I know, I remember from my own childhood, and I guess that's just how my memory works. But for me to watch it now could become a bit of overload. So it's a special occasion. I'm researching something, right? We're reliving the anniversary of the pilot, which was just a week and a half ago, of the time of this recording, and so, you know, that's part of the balance for me, is to separate some of these things out. So there you go.
Well, AJ, you just made my question much harder, because so
why?
No, I'm gonna tell you why. So I am what we call an elder millennial, which I hate that term. It's so stupid. So basically,
I've never even heard it before.
I will be 37 in less than a month. So that's what I am. My wife and I, we love to watch Bewitched before we go to bed. We've got Hulu, MeTV, stuff like that.
It's a fun show.
It totally is. There's no argument against it. But I have watched Knight Rider in syndication, but I was too young to see it when it was new. I know there are other people out there like me. We like the Pontiac Trans Am. We love the cheesiness of Knight Rider. We all have to admit it's kind of a cheesy show by modern standards.
Oh, hugely cheesy. Absolutely cheesy.
But
what Super would you Pursuit tell people mode is legit. That's not cheesy.
What would you tell people to watch? Like, you know, if you are someone like me, you're 35 to 40 years old. So you were maybe just, you were right on the cusp of being old enough to see it. You definitely saw it in syndication. I saw it on FX as a kid. I saw it on Nick at Night later on, like things like that. Like, I definitely saw the show, but I never saw them. Like, I saw maybe an episode from season one, an episode from season three, a super pursuit mode from episode or from season four, stuff like that. Where would you tell someone, hey, you really want to see some Knight Rider? Go watch this one or that one or stuff like that.
Well, there's certainly some fan favorites. Before I answer that question, I'm going to start with a bit of a story, because for those of us, I've noticed between Joe and I think we really bring a fantastic balance between our perspectives for the show, because Joe's perspective, he's only a few years older than you, Chris. Joe's perspective is exactly yours. So he was never old enough. He's 9 years younger than me. He was never old enough to actually see Knight Rider when it originally aired. First saw it in syndication. And when you see Knight Rider in syndication, you can see a Super Pursuit Mode episode followed by something from the first season or even the
pilot.
That's
the way I saw it. That's right. That's my experience of the show.
His experience of the timeline of Knight Rider is not linear. It's all together at once.
Yeah.
Me, I remember the day I saw the pilot for the first time. It was September 26, 1982. And I watched every single episode in the order in which it was aired. First season, second season, third season, and then fourth season was another story entirely. But we'll have to make that for another podcast.
Sure.
But you know, to me, it was a very linear thing. I saw the evolution of Kit's features, right? Mm-hmm. And even then, sometimes it didn't quite make sense, and it seems like they got the cart before the horse. But that's another story. but to me, it was a very linear experience. For Joe, it's like all at once, right? The whole thing is coming to you at a package. Right for you, like a train. Like,
exactly. You
know. I was going to say like a train wreck, but that, it's not. Anyway, I think I'm always going to answer that question differently than some others. We'll just rattle off some fan favorites. Of course, start with the pilot. Now, I'm calling it the pilot. A lot of people who know what I'm talking about say, wait, it's called Night of the Phoenix. The first episode is called Night of the Phoenix. No, it was named that in syndication.
Okay.
I'm going to take a side note there. I was interviewing Glenn Larson for our first book on the phone, and we actually asked him about the pilot, which would be the episode he's the most proud of, because that's the one that he made, you know, that made it famous back in his day.
Totally.
And we referred to it as Night of the Phoenix, because that's how it is in syndication. And while I would have seen it without the title as a kid, I didn't remember that detail. We've only seen it in syndication up to that point 20 years ago. You know, the DVD box sets and the VHS cassettes when they came out before that, and so on and so forth, and then recording it off of all syndicated channels we could possibly get our hands on. We said, well, what about in Night of the Phoenix, you did this? And Glenn says, what are you talking about, Night of the Phoenix? And then we realized he's never heard that name before. The first time Glenn Larson, the creator of the show, ever heard Night of the Phoenix was from us during our interview. He didn't even know that it had been renamed that in syndication. So I say that to say it's not Night of the Phoenix, it's the pilot.
The pilot.
And we have a whole video on that, on video review on that, and that's one of the first things that we point out. But yes, watch the 2-hour first ever episode. That's fantastic. Of course, the season openers are great. Goliath, you know, Goliath Returns was a two-hour episode that aired in the second season, and then Night of the Juggernaut and Night of the Drones. And those are the third and the fourth season, 2-hour openers. And they kind of sum up everything and give you a good progression. Watch those four in order if you could take it. And, you know, and then you'll be ready for more. There's some fan favorites that you absolutely don't want to miss. In the first season, it's Kit versus Carr, right? Trust Doesn't Rust, excuse me.
I've seen that one. Right? That one I know.
And we don't see Carr again until the third season, which when we have an episode that is Kit versus Carr, which seemed to be a little bit less imaginative of a title than the first one, because the first one you kind of had to think about. It had a meaning, a double entendre. And as kids, we didn't quite get it, right? It just went over our heads. Like, Trust Doesn't Rust. What are we talking about here? Even today, I'm not exactly sure I can explain to you what was going on in the writer's mind when it was named that, or whoever named that episode, if it wasn't the writer. But Trust Doesn't Rust, followed by Kit versus Carr. So you get to see the two evil car and night automated roving episodes side by side. Other fan favorites, if you want a little bit more of the teary-eyed romantic side of Knight Rider, watch the trilogy of Michael and his, you know, of Michael and Stevie, right?
Ones I don't know. This is the right first time about these.
So White Bird in the first season, Let It Be Me in the second season. There's your Night Rocker spinoff connection. And then The Scent of Roses in the fourth season. So watch that trilogy. You get to see all of those back to back. And of course that spans, do that in that order, because that's the actual timeline
of how
that story unfolds in the first, second, and then in the fourth season. So
there
you go. Now those timelines of those episodes kind of make sense. Goliath and Goliath Returns, of course, if you want to see the big destructive truck and so on and so forth. The rest of them doesn't seem to, as far as the storyline goes, it doesn't necessarily matter what order you watch them in, unless, you know, it bothers you to see Super Pursuit Mode once, and then in the next episode, Kit can't do that.
Well, no,
it bothers me personally, so I don't do that.
I have to be honest with you. Until we were preparing for this episode, I did not know that there was a convertible version of Kit. I had never seen any of those episodes.
Yes.
One of the
cars used as Kit as a convertible actually is one of the five that survives.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
But there you go. It's at the Orlando Museum. Excuse me. It's at the Deezer Museum in Orlando called Deezerland.
Okay.
Some pronounce it Deserland. And it's converted into a full on, automotive geek experience.
That's completely missed that. So that's very cool.
There you go.
That's one aspect where I wish I still had the naivety of a child.
Thanks, Smith.
Let me finish. Because I love convertibles. I have a convertible in the garage now. And when I was watching this, I am old enough to remember watching it when it was on NBC. And Michael's like, well, what's this C button for? It pushes the button, and Kit is like, oh, wow, look at me. And I was like, wow, look at Kit. And now all I can think of is, how do you make a T-top into a convertible?
Well,
I hate having that stupid adult logic. I just want my T-top and now, the convertible.
If you think that was hard, imagine how they had to make it look quasi-real on the show before CGI. And I'll tell you how.
That's a good point.
I mean, if in this process, we have learned to respect the skill and the talent of the guys and gals that worked on this show before CGI. It is amazing what they did, the skill that they had, the talent and the dedication that they had to make it happen in order for you to see on screen. Because some things, you know, unless you're looking close like we do, they look pretty real. Why? Mm-hmm. Because they are. 70 or 80% of the turbo boosts? Somebody should help us do a count on that. 70 or 80% of the turbo boosts are actually a real car. Now, we have the Flivver car, and we have miniatures. Those are another story. You'll have to check out our channel to hear more about those unless you want to go there here. But, you know, they did this stuff with real cars. So as far as the convertible is concerned, a gentleman by the name of Dennis Braid, who actually worked for George Barris at the time, at this stage in the show, George was involved. He wasn't the original creator of Kit. Let's make that very clear. But he was involved in by this time in the show's history. And so someone who worked for George by the name of Dennis Braid is a gentleman who actually fabricated from scratch a pull behind trailer that would pull behind the camera car. And it would actually, the top would fold back and this tonneau cover would fold up from behind.
Whoa.
And of course it doesn't. If you look, if the camera does anything from any other angle other than the front, it doesn't look right because you can see the mechanics behind it.
Right.
But this is the sheer engineering and brain power and talent and skill it took to build this thing is absolutely amazing. As a matter of fact, I think we should, because I just talked about that, we should actually show you what it looks like if we can. Let me see if I can pull that up here real quick.
You throw it in private chat and I'll share it, man.
I mean, why are you looking for that?
But that's shocking though. The fact that it was just a tow behind and all of that engineering just went into it. It's really impressive that you think about for, you know, a TV show that aired on, you know, every night, every Sunday, whatever, for several years. And they had this budget. And George Barris obviously is a genius, and I'm sure the people that worked with him were geniuses because they would have to have been, and they came up with this stuff. So
I'm glad you mentioned the engineering aspect and just the creativity, the cleverness. If I remember correctly, the scenes where you see Kit driving just by himself, I mean, when you're looking at it on the TV, you think, okay, well, they got the dark windows and there's just a driver that's kind of obscured. But then there are shots where it's like, no, you're clearly looking inside. There is nobody driving. They actually had a seat. They had a special, like a suit that the driver would wear that looked like a seat. And he's kind of sitting in the back and, you know, steering the car down low. But when you look inside, you just see what looks like an empty seat, and it's ingenious. It's like, I mean, for years I thought, oh, they must be remote control.
Mm-hmm. Today we can do that. That was far more difficult back then and far more dangerous. It was much safer for somebody to be in the car. So yeah, the driver actually is inside the seat. And in some of the earlier episodes is wearing the seat like a costume. And that's a whole nother story there. All right, Chris, I know you got you had a access error on those. If you hit refresh, you should
get that
again. And so is it better now?
Hold on 1 second. Let's try this new one. Yep, accessing it. Hold on. I will share this right now.
I can't wait to see this. I can't wait to see this.
Well, Smith, you're gonna love this image, especially for what's on the left.
And while that's coming up, I mean, there are so many videos at Knight Rider Historians where we're taking a look at these screen used kits and the various things that were done to make all of these things happen.
There it is. So that actually is Dennis Braid at Barris's shop. And that is to me an unknown model, but somebody that, you know, would have been hired around the shop for various
photos. Yeah, let's not use the word used. That's a bad term.
Sorry. Please edit that out. Hired. professional model hired. There you go.
And anyway, that's just the toe behind that they lower the roof on.
Yeah, so you can see the, you know, where it hooks up to whatever it's towing. And
so the other picture gives you a different angle where you might be able to see some of the mechanics in that. And you can see it from a side profile. And yeah, that it's just a shell. And that back end of that just folds down. And then this tonneau cover comes up from behind and fills that. So that's how they do that. And of course, the scene you see is only from front facing angles where you see that happen. Because if you get too far,
I'm sorry, Adrian, I'm still getting access denied on that second image that you just shared.
You shouldn't.
I hit
refresh. Does that make a difference if you hit refresh?
Let me try it now. Let's try that now.
It's super interesting. I mean, I didn't know that there was a toe behind like that either. So I said at the very beginning, I consider myself a pretty knowledgeable Knight Rider fan. I'm learning all kinds of new stuff, and I've seen a lot of the Knight Rider historians' videos. So
yeah. So that tonneau cover sits, there's some braces on the back there that go out behind the car. That's where the tonneau cover hides away so that it slides up after the top has.
Yeah, you can see where the rear end has basically been lengthened to fit that piece.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, there are pieces from real cars here. Those are real fenders, real quarter panels.
Oh, right? Of course.
Which is how that it ends up looking good enough like that to actually, you know, look like it really is kit, because it really is a shell. It's a shell of a real car, but it's built entirely on a hand-constructed tube trailer by that guy in the picture. That's Dennis Braid. It's his talent that made that happen. And I'm just in awe of that kind of talent and skill and dedication to put that together. That's amazing engineering. When you see something like that, you realize what it took to make some of those things look like they did on screen. Yeah, okay, a little cheesy, a little hokey. How come we only see it from the same angle? Hey, we had no CGI, man. And in some ways, it looks a little bit better because it doesn't look like CGI. You kind of make you say, like, what's going on there? Because you don't really know. It's great.
You know, I don't know if this is a taboo subject, but I couldn't stand the rebooted Knight Rider.
It's not taboo.
With the Shelby turning into a
You're
Ford truck and
one who feels that way. It's not.
I wanted to enjoy it. Funny story. I wasn't working with Ford specifically at the point. I was working with an ad agency that did a lot of work with Ford Racing. And that show came out at that time. And when I saw the first image, it's like, okay, I was actually with the Ford Performance Group. I was doing a lot with the Shelby, with the GT500KR. Mm-hmm. So when I saw that image with, you know, the scanner in the hood scoop, I thought it was fake at first. I was like, oh, yeah, okay, the KR has got this big hood scoop. Look, it's kind of like Kit's scanner bar. And then the show came out, and I'm not going to knock the show because it's cool in its own way. But I couldn't step into the concept of the nanotech that can turn this Shelby Mustang into a Ford truck, regular Mustang.
It's no secret that a lot of fans believe that that the writers of that particular show failed to get the spirit of the original show. They failed to really, even though it was one car and one man still, they really failed to capture the one man can make a difference mission of the original series. And, you know, I think certainly the writing of the car kind of failed, definitely didn't have Kit's personality, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Val Kilmer sounds great, and so does William Daniels. But William Daniels, he said his lines like he's being hilarious, you know, like smart aleck car. And we didn't hear too much, you know. Matter of fact, that's what you know, Michael Knight called him, smart aleck car. We didn't hear too much of that, right? In the 2008 Knight Rider.
So, no, I mean a neat show in its own regard.
Yeah.
My passion always lies with the original, and I know there were reboots. I know there was even that weird like Knight Rider 2010 that was the kind of its own thing. We need to just have you back to have like another 2 hour discussion.
We do, because Smith, real quick here, I want to present this. Mm-hmm. This is something I didn't know existed. This is on the Knight Rider Historians official YouTube channel. This is the Knight Rider spinoff that I did not know existed until about 3 weeks ago when I was researching for this episode, called Code of Vengeance.
Oh, there you guys have this. I was almost going to mention that one. Yeah.
Yep. You guys have this whole thing on your YouTube channel, and it is, I watched a good chunk of it, probably 30, 45. It is just, if you love 80s cheese, you're going to love this, because it is just pure 80s cheese.
Well, said. definitely want to jump over there and check that out. We'll have a link for that in our YouTube video that goes up.
Yeah. Every there Friday. It is. Got it. There's a spinoff. So
look at that four-eye Fox Mustang too. Mm-mm-mm.
So, you know, the second season of Knight Rider was something really special, because it's, you know, Knight Rider in the original NBC run, especially for those of us who remember that being what Knight Rider was and no more back in the day, Knight Rider had gotten its highest ratings in the second season. Mm. It really hit its height then. And that's to be expected, because it really rose quickly in the first season, and then into the second season it had its highest ratings, and Super Pursuit Mode hadn't come yet. There's a few people that believe that that's when Knight Rider jumped the shark, but that's another story entirely.
It was stretching things a little bit, but
I have backstories on that too, so we'll get to that. If you want to talk about Super Pursuit Mode, I have some great backstories on that. But anyway, I'll tell you, we can do this.
And Joe are coming back sometime.
Thank you.
We are just blowing this out.
We can do this all day and all night. And if I start to drink beer, it gets even better. So,
okay. Sorry, I should have mentioned that. That's a prerequisite for Rambling About Cars.
Well, then I'll have one in hand next time.
No, anyway. We're getting pretty close. We should probably try to wrap this up here.
All right. Well, I'll finish the Code of Vengeance.
Yeah, go ahead.
Please. I want to hear about
this. High off. So in the second season, something really unique, a lot of really unique things happened. But since it was the season that had the most viewership back in the day, they did something they never did. The Knight Rider producers, the show, whoever makes these decisions, and we're not exactly sure who, even though we've interviewed every living person we could find on the show. They produced not just a 2 hour episode to start the season. In the season, they produced two additional 2 hour episodes. Now, one of these, we clearly have the straight story from Knight Rider producer Robert Foster himself, who was producer at that time. It took over after Glenn Larson's 12 episodes were up in the first season. So he was, mm-hmm. He was the overarching producer for the whole rest of the series. But, the spinoff of Code of Vengeance was kind of it was his baby, right? He said, like, I want to do my own thing. I'm going to do my own production. I'm going to produce this show. And so he used Knight Rider as a springboard to try to make Code of Vengeance a reality. As a matter of fact, the first time we interviewed Robert Foster when he was still living, he remembered more about Code of Vengeance because he felt some, than he did about Knight Rider. And it's a shame that it didn't go any further. But, I think there's a number of reasons for that. There's a lot of disconnect where it uses the same character. But in the episode, Code of Vengeance, he's jumping on trampolines, jumping over fences and all kinds of almost bionic stuff in the episode. It makes it look kind of cool. And there is zero of that in the subsequent Code of Vengeance spinoff episodes that aired on NBC as kind of a miniseries. Much later that summer and early fall. So there you go on that. Anyway, in the minutes that we have left, what stories do you want me to tell? Because they're endless.
here's something that I was going to do really quick. In my mind, I mean, you can talk about Hollywood cars all day, all night. Most people are going to have different opinions on the coolest. You can talk about the General Lee. You can talk about the Bandit Trans Am, Starsky and Hutch, the Torino. You can go back, even further. In my mind, there's a trifecta. There is the Back to the Future DeLorean. There's the Ford Falcon from Mad Max. And then there's Kit. If you have one of those three, you are a rock star. And in my mind, Kit is if I had to choose one of those cars to go to a car show with, it's Kit every day of the week. And mind you, I love the Mad Max Falcon, but it's Kit every day of the week.
Christopher, this can be arranged, you know. We're here.
Yes.
we do.
Don't tease me, AJ.
Well, but I'm serious. I get a feeling that we cater to fans more than a lot of car owners who own cars from the original series that they're in. We're much more accessible. And, you know, we want, our goal, our mission is to share it with the fans so that they can sit in it and say, thank you for, you know, say very touching things like, thank you for preserving my childhood, because a lot of car owners would not let that happen. Now we just, you know, we're not going to do that. It's not practical for us to do that for everybody, but there are special occasions. You can come to, people drove for hours and hours and hours and even flew from other states. Mm-hmm. And I dare say even one person came from another country to see us at RetroCon.
Nice.
So they could see Kit, the real car, because it was going to be there. And, you know, nice. So of course we're going to want to, they're why we do that. They're what makes it special. So thank you, Christopher, for making that.
And that was gonna lead up to my question. Is there a particular show moment where I mean, you're at a special event? I mean, you were talking about RetroCon. You've been on Jay Leno's Garage. I know you've done things with David Hasselhoff. Is there any particular moment where you're like, okay, I'm here with Kit, and this is just unbelievable? It's an easy question, right?
No, it's not an easy question. Of course, that's your point.
Yeah.
I think the first time I picked up our first original car that was used in the show, I think the moment was a little bit overwhelming when I'm there. I think when it was in the trailer that I had bought just for the car, and it's being towed behind my 1979 Chevy Scottsdale 20 pickup that I inherited from my father. I think there was that moment when I'm driving the car and I've got some time to think as I drive across the desert, you know, across the desert of California and Utah and what have you, back to central Iowa. And it just hit me, like, Kit from Knight Rider is actually in the trailer behind me.
Sure.
Not a replica, the actual car. I think that was, there's been a lot of moments like that, but you know, that's one of them. Another one I think was once I got it home and I brought it into, you know, the house that I grew up in, which I, you know, have since inherited from my parents. I brought it into the garage, and it was, I parked it in a stall in the house where my dad kept one of his two very special cars. And, a story for another time. I actually demoted one of those cars to a different garage so I could put it there. Sorry, Dad. I had to do it. But the car that was on the TV screen just, 15 feet from where I watched it as a kid, I had it parked 15 feet in the same house that I watched it as a kid, 15 feet away from that very spot. Just stuff like that was amazingly cool. So hopefully that's a good story about cool factor, about, is this real? You know, should I pinch myself? Is this a dream? It's kind of cool. And the rest of it is just logistics where you kind of forget how special the moment is.
I mean, I think I can't imagine how that would feel personally, but I think I can get an idea, and just getting the idea from hearing you say it gives me goosebumps. So AJ, you told Glenn Larson, thank you. Let me thank you for you and Joe both for your passion in keeping the memory of this show alive, not just alive, but active and thriving. There are hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people that love the show, love the car. It's ingrained in their memories for life, and the work that you're doing, the effort, the time that you're putting into it, phenomenal. Folks, you need to go to Knight Rider Historians on YouTube. You need to go to KnightRiderHistorians.com.
Well, Smith, real quick, let AJ do that. Let AJ tell the people where we can find you on YouTube.
Well, yes. I know it's where right else? Now, those are the two main ones. But you know,
I am certain that these guys are going to link our channel in the description, right?
Oh, yeah, totally. And, yeah,
you've seen definitely. Some info cards up here, little pop-ups that that show some videos on our channel. Of course, if you just want to type in Knight Rider Historians Official on our in YouTube or just Knight Rider Historians, you're going to find our videos. So there you go. You know, do the little subscribe thing if you like. And
are there other socials that people can follow? Well,
we certainly have a Facebook page. Joe does a fantastic job of managing that. I know we have, you know, Twitter and Instagram accounts. I don't think we're quite so active on those, but they do exist. But, you know, Facebook seems to be a really popular one among our generation, all kinds of information. And we post a lot of content there. Again, I should point to Joe. Maybe we could say that he can't be here because he's so busy managing the channel and the Facebook account.
Exactly.
He is leading a quasi-normal life in the process.
He is a busy guy. Yes. And I also need to take a moment and say, we'd really also like you to go to Motor One Podcast on YouTube, like, follow, and subscribe, because we're still growing the channel, and we love hearing from everybody. Send us comments on our YouTube channel, on our YouTube videos that go up every Friday. You can always email us, podcast@motorone.com. We love getting emails. We've been getting some emails, and we're going to be reading them next week. We're going to be reading comments next week. You can always comment on our articles that go up every Friday at motorone.com. They give you a summary of the podcast, and I'm writing it this week, and I have a feeling I'm going to have trouble really condensing that article down. Because this has just been a wonderful experience, AJ. Thank you so much for taking time.
I mean, we're honored. I'm honored. Joe's honored to be on your podcast and on your show. Really, thank it's an you, honor man. For us.
Yep. So real quick, next week it'll just be Smith and I think that's the way.
My last episode. My last episode from South Dakota next week, everybody.
Exactly. After that, we will have at least one, possibly multiple guests on. It will be the second annual Motor One Star Awards. It's going to be way bigger than last year. Sorry.
Yes.
I don't know the specific number of vehicles. I don't know that they know the specific number of vehicles, but it's significantly more than last year. So in 2 weeks from now, we will have folks from that on, and we will be talking all about Motor One Star Awards. But otherwise, this has been a fantastic show. Knight Rider Historians, you guys have been great. AJ, thank you so, so much for being on the show. And as always, I'll do my little sign off. Good afternoon, good evening, or good night. We love doing this. We love your comments. We love having all of our guests, everything. It's just, you know what? This show is just so fun for me. I love it. And thank you, everybody. And that's going to be it for tonight. So good night. And we will talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.